Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Of course, I don't know how many of you were here Wednesday night or not. That doesn't matter. You're here tonight. And so we're going to minister that. But I've been staying with the subject of the life of God. I want to continue with that here. Been something that has been on my heart for a long time. And God has been just showing me different things as it applies to my own life, and realizing that Jesus came that we might be a partaker of that life once more. The life of God. You realize it's God's life. It's spiritual in nature then. God is spirit. We're talking about spiritual life. There is no death in this life. It's why the Bible calls it eternal life. Everlasting life. You can't do away with it. It will never come to an end. It is the life of God. And so we want to talk about that. Of course, you know, a lot of folks have heard the studies, you know, the life of God. It is the Zoe, life of God, Zoe, as it's in the English from the Greek language, that means life of God, his life as God lives it. If you got your Bible tonight, let's start in John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're just going to go as far as we can get tonight in this. As we start into this, you know, tonight, let's just believe God, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Well, tonight we want the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge concerning his life. The life of God that we are now partakers of, and that is God's. That's why Jesus came back, because when God imparts his life, then everything else gets taken care of. Now, what happens when God imparts his life? We're born again, if you will. We're born into this. And again, it's not a physical, it does affect the physical, but this is spiritual life, because it's from God. Now here in John chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Jesus was Zoe, and that Zoe was the light of men. So in him, now I'm going to make a statement. The same life that was in Jesus is now in us. Same life. There's not two different degrees of life. There's God's life, and that's the life of God. Look at John chapter 5. John 5. We're just going to read one verse here, verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. For as the Father has life in himself. See, this life comes from God. It's not something anyone has given to God. God always has been and always will be. So this life originates with God. And he said he's given to the Son to have life in himself. Now look at John 10:10. We're familiar maybe more with this verse, but I don't know, besides Mark chapter 11, John 10:10 might be the most quoted verse in this pulpit. Because I think Pastor Craig mentions it every time he preaches. But there's revelation here. All right? So remember, we said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then we read, this says, in God, in himself, there, he has life in himself, and he has given it to the Son to have life in himself. John 10:10 then says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The same life. So he came that we might have that life. That same life that is from God, that was in the Son, is in us. He came that we might have it. The very Second, then, that a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they become born again, that life is imparted into our spirit, and we become what's known as a new creature in Christ, right? And we now have that divine nature on the inside of us. This life, the life imparted, drives out the old man, the person that was the old nature, and they're gone. And now we are a new man, a person in Christ, with the unlimited ability of Almighty God on the inside of us. It is His life that is in us. Now, the more we take time to study this and to meditate upon this and talk about this with ourselves, meditate means just basically have conversations with yourself. Well, now, brother, if I start talking to myself, they'll put me away. No, you talk to yourself all the time. You know you do. Right? You know it's true. Sometimes you have to have, I call it the carnal trinity. You have to talk to me, myself, and I. Because sometimes it wants to do carnal things. But thank God we are spirit beings. Amen? We'll look at that in just a little bit. Well, here, the issue is that man had that life in the beginning, but man lost that life. We'll go back to Genesis chapter 2. It has always been God's plan for His man, for mankind. When I say man, I'm using it as a genderless term there. For mankind, see, because when God made man, He made male and female, made He them. All right? So we are of the, if you will, the species of man. All right? Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, tells it, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now we know in chapter 3 they did eat. But they didn't cease to exist, did they? But what did happen to mankind that day? They became separated from that spiritual life. Now there had been partakers, and it took many generations for that spiritual life to quit having an effect on mankind the way it was. And eventually God said, "Look, I'm not going to strive with man for all these years." He put limits there on life. But then, you know, we walk in the redemption. It says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Psalm 91:16. Amen. You know, I was reminded here just recently of something that took place way back in 1993, in the spring of 1993. Our pastor at our church was out of town, and it fell to me to do hospital visits. And I got a phone call. Well, we got a call at the office there. This is way before cell phones and all that, if you remember. And so I was headed to one of the hospitals in town there in Springfield, Illinois, to make a hospital visit. And I kept remembering there's somebody else, I can't remember who, what their name was, what it was, that was in the hospital at the other hospital in town. And so I had to actually go to the hospital and make a collect call. Anybody remember a collect call? Back to the church office. Thank God they recognized me. And I asked, "Who is in the hospital? Who is it?" And they told me the person's name. And so I went to the desk and asked. And I went up to the room. And when I got into the room, the person, this lady, and her husband was there with her. She was lying in the bed on her, on her right side. Her entire left side was paralyzed. She had the face was drooped, eye was drooped closed. She had, she couldn't control. The reason she's on the left side, because otherwise just the saliva was dripped, and she could not move her arm or left leg. In fact, I found out later that she had broken her left ankle because she had had a stroke and fell and broken the left ankle. And so I went in there. But on the way over there to the hospital, the Lord told me, He said, "When you get in there, you ask the person this. Read him Psalm 91:16 and ask him if they're satisfied with life yet. If they're satisfied." And then the other one was read Mark 16 that says, "Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Ask the person. I knew it was a woman, but ask her if she believes that when you lay hands on her, she will recover. And so I went in the room and introduced myself. Now you realize God is an incredible planner of things. And He'll work circumstances that you won't believe. You know, He knows the beginning from the end. Now, He doesn't cause calamity to happen. He didn't cause the woman to have a stroke. But He did cause me to be there ready. And interesting enough that my uncle had been this man's high school basketball coach in the early 1960s at a small little school there in Illinois. Small school. My uncle had been his high school basketball coach, so he recognized my name. Now, the woman had come to church a few times. He never had. In fact, was not a believer at all. And they were, one of the reasons she had the stroke was they were in a massive argument. He's getting ready to divorce her, and it's just a big, big mess. But he's there at the hospital with her. So I talked to him for a little bit just to introduce myself, and he talked to me about it. He said, would you be related to, and he said, my uncle's name. I said, well, absolutely, that's my uncle. And so we kind of talked a little bit about that. And I said, what's going on over here? He said, well, she's had a stroke. And I walked over to her, and I called her name. And I said, Psalm 91, see, I didn't have much, no need for conversation. She can't talk. Psalm 91, verse 16 says, with long life he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. I said, are you satisfied with the length of your life? She could get out, she could just make sounds. She said, That's all I heard. He chimed in and says, she said no. So, okay. So she's not satisfied. So I said, Mark 16, verse that says, believers shall lay in the name of Jesus, believers. I said, I'm a believer. So lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe if I lay hands on you that you will recover? She said, He said, she said, yes. Now remember, he's not even a believer at this time, but he has the gift of interpretation. In operation. I didn't have any idea what the woman said. So I said, okay. And then, Father, I just prayed and said, Father, in Jesus' name, you heard her own by her own testimony. She's not satisfied with life. You said with long life, you would satisfy us and show us your salvation. And Father, the word also says, Jesus said that as a believer, I could lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. She believes that when I lay my hands on her, she will recover. So I laid my hands on her in the name of Jesus. That was just it right there. I said, in Jesus' name, laid my hands on her. And nothing happened. I mean nothing. There was no glory cloud. There was no lightning bolt. There was no warm honey. There was no I didn't feel a thing. Nothing. I told him, I said, well, I'll come back tomorrow and check on you, all right? Okay, thank you. Well, I go back the next day. That was a Friday. This is on Saturday. I go back the next day. And I go in, and there's now, I recognized their daughter because she had come a couple times to the youth group when I was doing some youth work there at that church. So I recognized her, and then the husband now, they're sitting there, you know, kind of on a ledge by the window of the hospital room, and they're laughing and joking, and I'm walking in, I'm thinking, how rude. They're laughing. Here she is. She's paralyzed. They're laughing and going on, you know. And then when I came in, and I couldn't see the bed, but I could hear a doctor talking. So I just kind of came in and sat down. And when I looked, I kind of looked at the bed, and there sat the woman. And she just looked over at me and smiled. Amen. She's got her makeup on. She's all done. Her hair's done. She's got no paralysis at all. You know, she's sitting there. But the doctor, you know, bless the doctor's hearts. You know, they just know the facts as they see them. And they don't necessarily factor in. Well, what we believed happened, I listened to this doctor. What we believed happened was that you had a psychological event. And you became paralyzed. Now, we did run the scans on you yesterday when you came in, and we could see on your heart and in your brain different marks there that indicated the stroke. And in fact, we saw where you'd had a couple other strokes before this. Is that true? Yes, I have. Now, this morning, though, when we ran those same tests, there's no indication that you'd had a stroke yesterday. And in fact, we don't know why there's no indication you've ever had a stroke. I'm just sitting there smiling because I'm the most amazed person in the room. I can't believe she's sitting there well. I'm just like, because nothing, I mean, just nothing. I'm telling you, the life of God works. Amen. Glory to God. Well, then I got talking to her and found out what happened. I said, well, what happened? I said, when I left, there was a, the husband chimed in again. You know, he said, when you left, when I left, she was worse than she was before you came. And I had to go home, so I just left her there. He said, when I walked in this morning, there she sat. He's just as amazing as anybody. Amen. I said, well, what happened? She said, and later and talked to her, she said, well, I heard what you said. And I just, I said, she said, he got it right. I said, no and yes. I mean, that was all it was. That's all I heard. Well, she said, I just believed it. And she said, I just went to sleep knowing I'd be healed. And I woke up and I was well. Now, the other thing that the doctor said, now, your ankle is broken this morning. We looked at it. It's still broken. We're going to have to, in fact, you've broken it really, really bad. Really bad. And you're going to have to, we're going to have to set it. And you're looking at, you know, 6 weeks of hard rehab on it before you're even going to be able to walk. And so we're going to have to do that. And do that for you, and we'll set it later on, you know, today, and then, you know, a couple days you'll be out, then we'll have to start your rehab. And so the doctor left, thank God, finally left. And thank God for doctors. Now, I'm not against doctors, but she left. And so in talking to her, I said, now, I didn't know anything about your ankle. He goes, oh yeah, I broke my ankle. I said, the Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you believe that if I lay hands on your ankle that it'll be healed? She said, yes. I understood this time. She said, yes. So I laid my hands on her ankle. Again, nothing, didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anointed. I'm sure it was Saturday morning. I didn't look anointed, didn't sound anointed. But thank God for the Word of God works, amen, when we just dare to act on it. Hallelujah. Because you know what happened? That same life is in us that was in Jesus that comes from God. And when you lay hands on the sick, when you're a believer, you lay hands, there, that life will affect the healing and a cure. Well, I left and, you know, left her there in the hospital. And so next day, Sunday, since the pastor was out of town, I preached Sunday morning. And then Sunday night service, I'm going to preach Sunday night. In fact, I'm helping with the praise and worship. And we're up there on the platform, and at that time the church, we were in the new building by then, yeah. And so, you know, the back doors, you had back doors, and in through the back doors, all of a sudden they swang open, and here comes Sunday night. Here comes this woman. They're a little bit late, but they're there. Here comes this woman walking down the aisle with high heels on, no limp, nothing. Nothing. She's just totally well. I mean, nothing wrong with her. Amen. Glory to God. I'm as surprised as anybody. I had to look. I said, that can't be. That's the same woman. Same testimony. Well, I just believed it. You said it's in the Bible. I just believed it. Now, this was a person that wasn't really, you know, they'd come to church every once in a while, but they weren't regular in church and all that. Amen. Well, her husband got born again. Amen. They got back together. Glory to God. Never have gotten apart. Hallelujah. And last time I talked to him, you know, just thanking God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the kind of life we're talking about here. But he said, you'll surely die. This spiritual life. Look over at, look at Romans chapter 5. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's Amethyst over here. Wave at everybody, Amethyst, over here. This summer, we were in Kakamega, Kenya. And I think this was the last day of our ministry. And one of the young men, Caston, had preached that day. It was a surprise service. We didn't expect to have a service, but a bunch of people showed up. I don't know what, I guess they, on a, it was Tuesday, on a Tuesday morning. And I followed up with what he had preached on and talked about the healing power of God and the life of God. Is there anybody here that needs prayer for anything? Well, several people. Amethyst ended up with a person who was blind, right? This woman was blind. And so you laid hands on her. And I think you laid hands on her several times, right? Twice, three. Three, huh? I'm in sports. I did three this way, like the OK sign. So, because I could never do, I can't do that one anyway. No flexibility in the fingers or something. I don't know. So, end up laying hands on her three times. Each time, progressively better until after the third time, could see. blind person. Amen. She wouldn't let you go, would she? I mean, she hung on to you until she's going to get her healing. Amen. What happened? That life of God restored that woman's sight. Look at Romans 5. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all sin. See, mankind, through disobedience, separated themselves from that life of God through sin. The wages of sin is and always will be death. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. See, that's what happened. Man had that life. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul, Genesis 2:7 says. But what happened was man forfeited that life, but Jesus came to give it back to us. And it's a spiritual life. And so in that sense, think of it this way. In that sense, this is not natural life we're talking about. So this is supernatural life. And it will impact the natural realm. Here in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, and you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now I want you to notice the past tense language there. So you could read that if I was making it personal. I have been made alive who was dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had, notice that past tense, our manner of life in times past and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Notice here, because of that death, we had the wrong nature on the inside of us. But thank God, when we're born again, that eternal life. Look over in chapter 4 now. We don't have to walk in that kind of life. We can walk in the life of God. Because we're not strangers from that life anymore. We are partakers. Where is it? It's on the inside of us. Ephesians 4:17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth and from this point walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. One thing that life does is it illuminates us. We don't have to walk in the vanity of our own mind and the darkness of our own mind, our own way of thinking. Spend time in the Word of life. Glory to God. This Bible is the Word of life. Spend time. It'll bring life to every area of your life. Glory to God. Look what it says there in Revelation chapter 22. The last chapter of the Bible here. The written part of it. How many of you know the book of Acts is still going on? Hallelujah. Revelation 22. I was just going to read one verse here, but I couldn't help but I had to read a little bit more than that. Start in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Thank God there's no river of death in heaven. There's no river of sickness and disease in heaven. There's no river of poverty and lack in heaven. There's no river of sin and death. No, there's a river of life. Hallelujah. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they that see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. But let's be careful here that we not put off to heaven what we have for today. We are partakers of that eternal life now. Glory to God. Now, we are spirit beings, right? And we are in the same class of being as God. God created us. Put up Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Whose image are we in? God's. Who is life? God. We were created in life. And to have life, like God has life. We're created that way. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The life of God. I think it's so important that we understand that life and we partake of it. You know, it's interesting. It seems like with the things of God, that if you don't partake of, if you don't act on it, it'll just lie dormant. Now, God does take, he protects us and takes care of us, I know, when we don't even know that we're being protected and taken care of. But yet, there's so many other things. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Meaning it can just lie there dormant. It can just be in you and it's God wants to work, but it's just lying there dormant. You got to stir it up. Well, stir up the life of God on the inside. Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, we were created in the class of God, spirit beings, and we partake of this life now. We are conformed to the image of his son. We weren't made in the image of angels, even though they are spiritual beings. We are a higher form of being. We are the children of God. That's a greater standing. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. One of the things that's come out of this that's helped me is to quit looking outside for God to meet the need when it's already on the inside. Yes. So many times, you know, we're waiting for a move when God has already put his life in me. Jesus said it's a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. That well is in us now. It's not going to be. It's in us now. The Spirit of God brought that life. We're partakers of the life of God. Here in 1 John 3, verse 15, it says, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Well, how many of you know we're going to walk in love, right? And you know that no murderer has eternal life, notice this, abiding in him. Excuse me. Where's this life? It's abiding in us. Say, the life of God is abiding in me. Glory to God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Where is it abiding? Is it abiding in my body? Well, no, in one sense. Is it in my mind? No, it's not in my mind. It's in my spirit. Our spirit beings. We are spirit beings. We have a soul, mind, will, and the emotion, and we live in a body. Now, most of us are acquainted with our body. How many of you probably let your body tell you what to do on Thanksgiving when you saw all that food? Did you just let your body? You said, Lord, I know it says the buffet, but I'm going to buffet my body today. Amen. And you just have to put down those thoughts that's too much. On Thanksgiving. Amen. I'm joking a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more verse here tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. There's so much to be said about the life of God. We're just scratching the surface here. Of course, you know this. You know this. I don't know everything there is to know about the life of God at all. So I can't tell you everything there is to know about the life of God. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit who does know the life of God. All right, now here, we are spirit beings, right? Notice what Peter calls that spirit man. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. See, your spirit man, it's not corruptible any longer. It's not subject to death any longer. It's not something that is corruptible because the life of God is dwelling in that. You're not turning away from it, right? You're not renouncing the life of God. You're going to hang on to it, right? It says, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, I lied to you. Would you forgive me? I do want to look at one more scripture because that's in this section. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. The hidden man of the heart, that's where that life resides. The life on the inside. On the inside. Let's start looking on the inside for our answers. Amen. Look on the inside for our answers. Glory to God. On the inside. Now, the world can't look on the inside for their answers. Now, I'm not talking about your mind. You're not going to make it by the strength of your mind. You're not going to make it by the amount of your education. You're not going to make it. It's by the strength of your spirit on the inside. The life of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in infirmity. The strong spirit is filled with the life of God. The life of God is stronger than any other thing. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If I've got a well of water springing up into everlasting life on the inside, it's renewing me every day. It's renewing me every day, strengthening me on the inside every day. I mentioned that Smith Wigglesworth said that I'm 10,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. How could he say that? He knew what was in him. Do you know what's in you? Do you know what's on the inside of you? That the life of God is in you now? And it is our source. It is our source. That's why the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because that's what feeds that life. The word and the life of God are connected. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.